It's 7 o'clock.
Love Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to the Consciousness Shift for Thursday. This is December 6th. I'm Gwen Berry. I'm here with you tonight. Sans Nicole, she's not with us this evening. Our guest tonight is a young man by the name of Blaze Lee Dragon, and I'm thinking you're going to love the conversation we're going to have. We're going to open up with something a little deep. Listen up.
Hold my hand, ooh baby, it's a long way down to the bottom of the river. Hold my hand, ooh baby, it's a long way down, if you get sea or if you get none.
The cat's gonna call in the morning, baby,
and check the cupboard for your daddy's gun.
Red sun rises like an early warning,
the Lord's gonna come for your firstborn son. Where the water runs,
wash him deep where the tides are turning.
And if you fall, hold my hand. Ooh, baby, it's a long way down to the bottom of the river. Hold my hand. Ooh, baby, it's a long way down, a long way down. The wolves will chase you by the pale moonlight.
Drunk and driven by a tail.
Drive your son like a railroad spy
into the water, let it pull him under.
But don't you lift him, let him drown alive.
The good Lord speaks like a rolling thunder.
And let God's fever make the water rise.
Let the wind run.
Down to the bottom of the river. Tonight's guest, Blaze Lee Dragon, is someone who has explored his own way for many years. He's put together his own personalized path through lots of old traditions and his studies. We're going to speak with him tonight. He's really wonderful at being, I would say, self-defined, if I'm getting the message correctly from his videos. You can find him on YouTube. And Blaze, welcome to the show, Consciousness Shift, this evening. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And let me ask you a question. What is your YouTube channel so people can find it?
If you actually just search for Blaze Lee Dragon as one word or even with spaces, it'll pretty much bring up my videos directly. I don't have the link off the top of my head. I believe it's just, you know, youtube.com/BlazeLeeDragon.
Cool. Great. Your videos do, in your own words, illuminate on witchcraft and paganism, but you also study Shaolin martial arts, right?
Correct.
Tell me about that. Just tell me your journey, if you will. I think it's a pretty great topic to talk about, just from what you've put out on your videos. So please, feel free. Just start telling me.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, I was raised in Roman Catholicism, which never really rang true to me. And as I got older and started delving into empathy and basically etheric touch, spiritual healing, things like that, with quantum vibration and different types of techniques, I actually spoke with one of my Sunday school teachers, and they specifically said to me that if I'm not healing in Jesus' name, then I'm using satanic powers. And I was like, well, you know, that doesn't seem right. So I started looking elsewhere. And then throughout the years, I kind of started picking up on different paths and talking with different individuals, reading books, going to gatherings, and just all sorts of paths from different spiritual practices, you know, shamanism and Wicca and druidry and witchcraft and Taoism and different forms of Buddhism, you know, and some of the Shaolin arts and just some of Hinduism and even, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses and Jewish and just all these different myriad of paths. And I was starting to find that it was very difficult to find knowledge or wisdom or paths that had to do with anything that was like old types of faiths. I mean, even when you started to get into some of the Nordic traditions with the Sotru and, you know, some of the heathenisms and things like that, or even some of the remote areas where they will have a specific title, but they would have a different practice or a different way of doing that. So it was very difficult to find any sort of a community feel, because for the most part, you know, you're raised in a certain faith, and that's usually your community. And it's very hard to find anything that's alternative or outside of the box or just something that gets into deeper spirituality. So I kind of made that a quest for myself to find something that fit and sounded true to me. And the more I researched and the more I looked at stuff, the more I realized that all of these paths had wisdom in them. All of these paths had something to offer. And ultimately, at the end of the day, I don't need to self-identify with one path when I have so much to learn from that I can incorporate to make me me.
You know, you sound like one. It came to me as you were explaining. I feel much the same as you do, and I've taken a stroll not too far off from yours. In collecting and doing what I do, I work with the plants, and I create from all the different cultures and ancestors. But here's the thing that I really like. You're transcending a planetary mind into a more universal or galactic mind, as they say. It seems timely to me.
Yeah, a lot of the root of any religion or spirituality of any sort usually has to do with trying to find a connection with the divine. And, of course, what the divine is can be defined differently depending on not only the path but the individual. I've noticed that several individuals that you speak to, even if they follow the same path, can still give you a unique interpretation. So I was asking myself, well, are these individuals wrong if they're saying different things? And I came to the realization that, well, we're all unique individuals with our ability to make up our own mind. So our own reality is based upon our perception and how we perceive the world around us. So I don't think there's any wrong way to perceive things. They're just our way. And I think that each person can find their own truth. I mean, even when you look at simple things like the Dalai Lama, and he'll sit here and say, if people ask him what his religion is, and he'll just say that his religion is love. And it's very simplistic, yet very profound.
Yeah. Yeah, and it embraces, there's a word you use that I think is important to us going forward these days, and that word was community. And a community contains all kinds of people and paths and ideas, and it's sustainable There, it has to be sustainable because we have to grow into that just to survive, especially spiritually speaking, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I can agree with that, and it can be difficult to seek that community, and it can be very intimidating at first. And that's why I'm very happy that there are, you know, certain groups and gatherings that make it easier to approach them. I mean, there's stuff like, you know, Witchfox, where you can find local groups, and there's different meetup communities. And, of course, as, you know, you've seen with some of my videos, I started doing an ancient art kind of gathering where people can just talk and just share their thoughts on a forum where they're not going to get attacked or assaulted. Like you sometimes see when you share and you have a difference of opinion, you can have people attacking each other. And once you start doing that, I think that's why we have so many individuals that pick a path, and if they don't have necessarily a teacher or a lineage, they become solitary and they feel stuck being solitary because they don't know who to reach out to or where to find other individuals to talk to about this journey that they're taking.
Agreed. I've seen that, and in fact, in little ways, sometimes experienced it. I've always thought of myself as some, and I do enjoy the word you used, I think, was eclectic. I like the word elastic. Elastic group of people from all kinds of different traditions and indigenous or ancestral traditions, too. And the evolution of certain traditions, like the Druidism, the different forms of shamanism. I mean, shamanism itself has evolved incredibly. Because we have evolved incredibly, especially through industrialization. But getting the basics of that, I think I actually myself sort of pick up the shamanism is most easily at my hand, if you know what I'm saying. I don't know if I'm being clear there, but.
Well, I mean, self-identifying with any word, it just comes down to what your comfort level is. And
yes.
Just because I think a lot of people get too hung up on the word, which is why I made that video that we were talking about a little bit before the show, you know, what you call, you know, witch, druid, Wiccan, et cetera. And the reason I had said that is so many people are so caught up on, well, I can't do this because this isn't the druid thing to do. Or, you know, I can't do this because this isn't the Christian thing to do. And they're so hung up on that word, they lose the fact that, to me at least, I would suggest the main purpose of spirituality is to add to your life and make you feel alive. So if you're restricting yourself from learning new wisdom and knowledge, to me, I feel like that's self-defeating. Now, I do know that there are certain faiths that are very hardcore on you can only do certain things. They have their, you know, their commandments or their doctrines, and there's no veering from that path.
Right.
But to me, I feel that's okay and that's good.
From my perspective, I see us as a global culture emerging right now with the planetary consciousness that we've actually created with technology. You know, as someone who works with a lot of hermeticism, if you will, the as above, so below has always been my confirmation system. Do you follow what I mean?
Like, as what do you mean as far as confirmation system?
Well, if for everything that I am intuiting or learning or evolving with on a spiritual side, there's always a physical manifestation of it.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
I can agree with that, absolutely.
Yeah, and so when I say planetary consciousness, I really do think we've achieved that on not just the resonance that surrounds, you know, perhaps is the Van Allen belts is where it contains a resonance, but it's actually manifest in our technology that we're using right this very minute because we're connected to just about anywhere we can imagine getting connected to is not too impossible now through the internet or through the computer.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing that we can do that today. And I know that there's been some individuals that I've spoken with that seem to feel like they were born in the wrong time period. And something I try to reiterate to them is you might not have known about the path that you now follow if not for modern technology. I mean, back in, you know, ancient times, you were pretty much restricted to your tribe. The way that you were brought up and raised, the spirituality, the practices, was pretty much your tribe and who you could immediately trade with. But today, I mean, now we have individuals that can, you know, learn from people over in China or Japan or Russia. I mean, you can go what would take you days of travel on foot or even, you know, years of travel just to get to, and now you can reach them within, you know, seconds.
It's amazing. And it's that kind of elasticity of communications that, and I don't know if you know much about the author and publisher Barbara Hand Clow, but she wrote some books. She and her husband owned a publishing company called Bear & Company, and they published some really wonderful books in the 80s and 90s. And she would speak about how technology was teaching us to reawaken our own abilities within, and that's the psi sciences or the extrasensuality that we have.
That actually makes a lot of sense to me because, I mean, to me at least, a lot of people think of magic as something that's abnormal or beyond normal, paranormal, and I've always thought of magic as just naturalness. It's about part of who we are, and when we talk about magic, we talk about manifestation, how to manifest stuff. So all of this technology is something that somebody felt and dreamt up, and they put their all into it, and they helped to manifest it into a reality. You know, just, I mean, anything, you know, from computers to different technology, it's something that was once imaginary that was manifested and put onto this earth through their creative power. And to me, that's a form of magic.
I agree with you. Words are very powerful. At one time, words were magical. I mean, speak to anybody who actually has done some intuitive work and done a lot of studying with what can be found about druids. Words were magical because they enabled and built and created and fashioned communities. And so it's, I think I actually heard you speaking about the power of words in your video.
Yes, I actually have mentioned that quite a few times. Just for the simple fact that, you know, like you're saying, I mean, words can move people. They can make you happy. They can comfort you. They can enrage you or upset you. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as a single word, and other times it can be the way that you present the word. I mean, the tone of voice that you have and, you know, what your facial expression is, the body language behind the word. And I think it creates a palpable vibration out for individuals to receive and react to. And, of course, you know, how much a word affects you does have a certain degree to do with the individual, like if they're going to ignore the word or whether or not they understand the word. But in the same breath, there's still energy that's being put out into any word that you say.
That's awfully true. The way that you speak about I've always thought of myself sort of like the shoot from the hip kind of shamaness, if you will, or medicine woman, or witch, or what have you. But I think it's real. My interest primarily is also here. You are another somebody who is saying that it's many paths, many disciplines, and not all do you. You might not conclusively agree with everyone, and yet all of these different traditions, spiritual paths, even the monotheism of the one God, there are lessons to be learned and taken away. And the kind of elasticity I saw, and I keep using that word because I can't think of a better one at the moment, the kind of all in the basket that you are promoting by defining yourself by what fascinates and what moves you. And I would love to hear you talk about that because I think it's something folks need to hear, not to, you know, it's fine and dandy to follow a tradition and be set in one way if that is what you're seeking and you have found. More often these days, Blaze, I find that people are not satisfied completely with anything, and that's why what you're saying, what I might say, or and there's a few others out there, that having the fascination and the attraction to look into all the different cultures and their stories, their traditions, and the lessons that the ancestors have left us to that are timeless, that teach us basics. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people are feeling a calling to, what I like to call the old ways, is, you know,
yeah.
just simple fact, you know, one time, religion, spirituality, magic, that's all there was. There was no question about it. And then you started getting into science and technology, and to a degree, it almost seems like religion and spirituality was pushed off to the side. But now, today, a lot of us are feeling the call to retouch with our roots and our ancestors. And then, of course, you know, you start having, you know, that fear of, you know, how far out of your comfort zone do you go? And, well, you know, if I'm this particular path, why would I look at another? And now, of course, I always say, and I'll say multiple times, and I'll even say now, that anything I say is just my opinion. It's just my views. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, nobody has the answer to anything. We just find our own answer. You know, all of this religion, spirituality, lineage, all of this is, for all intents and purposes, complete baloney until we make it a reality for us. And that's because
yeah.
we're going by somebody else's word. Somebody's telling us a story, or they're writing it down, or they're teaching us. All of these different things are lessons from other people. So until we apply them to our own lives, they don't become reality. They don't become truths for us. And that's why I always, for myself, always look at these different paths, because the original path that I was presented with when I was born didn't ring true for me. So I had already broken away for what I was raised with, and now I was floating around. And, you know, for going on 18 years, I've been looking at all of this different stuff, and I'm collecting just different tidbits. Now, some people might not like that, and that might not be for everyone, which is fine, you know. But at the same time, I've looked at each of these paths, and I've asked myself, how did they start? Where did they begin? And no matter which path you look at, every single one of them started with a single individual who said, hey, I've got an idea. And it grew from there. And that goes for any religion or spirituality. It just it happened with, you know, one individual or a group of individuals talking. So what made them so special? You know, what made Lao Tzu so special? You know, what made, you know, Bodhidharma so special? You know, what makes the Dalai Lama so special? What made Jesus of Nazareth so special? The thing that made them special is they were not afraid to look within and find their own answers and then communicate with other people to expand on those answers. And that's what I really feel that is very helpful for people today. I mean, you know, individuals like us, we're going to go around and look at different paths. We're going to, you know, going to pick and choose and, you know, find our own recipe, so to speak. Now, other individuals, though, that really do want to stick with their one path, and that's who they are. At the same time, you know, if you go and research some of the other paths, you might find you have some things in common that could give you new insights that would just reaffirm your own path. And what I mean by that is two very influential paths for me have been Druidry and philosophical Taoism. And if you look at some uh-huh. of the root beliefs and principles that come from philosophical Taoism in the Western world and how we view it in the United States, and you add that to the way that the Neo-Druid revival Western world views Druidry, you'll see a lot of similarities, you know, a connection, you know, with how you can harmonize with your elements and the environment around you and how it's all connected and how you can receive insight by focusing and doing journeying inward or forms of meditation or power thoughts or chi cultivation. And both of these kind of translates into both paths very nicely to where they almost fall side by side. So I think that a lot of people could actually branch out and learn something without giving up their core belief or path.
That's well put. I hear you advocating a personal responsibility for spirituality, stepping away from being told what is. I'm hearing the same thing that I think I heard when I was indoctrinated into, you know, CCD classes and Catholic school, parochial school. and then made a choice to step away from that. At my mother's bequest, she said, "Now I've given you this. You choose from now on." I was 15, which was really great. I was really blessed by that. And I do credit my early Catholic teaching for pointing me in the direction of answering questions that I could not find the adequate answers for within that. You know, getting kicked out of Friday CCD class was one of my hobbies, I guess. I just, when you don't agree with the mystery of faith, it's just, you know. But I'm hearing you, Blaze, talk about a personal responsibility, which is something that I have thought was very vital right now. I think it's vital at any time, but this is my time, so I call it, you know, vital now at this time. A personal responsibility, especially spiritually, because I see so much of what I'm also political activism and la 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 there, environmentalists. And what I see wrong with a lot of the ideas that are fashioning more and more problems for humanity right now on the planet stem from being able to either say, you know, directed by that one God type of influence it enables people to say, you know, well, it's either God's fault or God said to do it kind of thing. And I sound simplistic there, but what I mean to do is illuminate the idea that so much of what is going on right now is cloaked in either Christian or Judeo, and all saying they respect one another, faith. But these faiths that put their personal power outside themselves. Got to it finally, didn't she? And what I hear you saying is that the power is not outside the self, and the self must embrace responsibility. But when you do that, you know, that's extraordinarily empowering. This is what makes people so much more than they were the moment ago. You follow what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's where I think, as far as, you know, being responsible for your own actions and what happens and delving into that, that's definitely something big that I've always mentioned. Now, of course, when I was growing up, I was fortunate enough that my mother was very supportive of me exploring my own thing. And actually, it was interesting that she even bought me my first spell book when I was like 13 years old. It was Scott Cunningham, Earth Power. And when I was 14, she got me my first sword. She was always very supportive of me looking at things for myself. Even if she didn't agree always about the way I went about things, she wanted me to make my own decisions. And that was always really cool of her. And I've noticed that as I was growing up, a lot of people want to blame stuff. Like I was mentioning earlier when I got, you know, pulled away from my birth faith that I was raised in, because I was told, well, you have to, you know, heal in Jesus' name. It's the only way to heal. And I'm not criticizing Catholicism, and I'm not saying Catholicism is a bad path. I'm just saying it didn't resonate true for me. And one of the reasons that being is I didn't like the idea that there was something else that was responsible. And the reason I say that is, although I have a great belief in the divine and multiple gods and goddesses, and there's, you know, ones that I particularly connect with in my pantheon, I still feel like we are here, we make choices. And even with the Catholic, you know, upbringing, there was, you know, even words where they would say, you know, basically, God helps those who help themselves. I mean, even in Catholicism, you hear that. And I hear all these people say, well, if God's real, why do they let all this evil happen? Or I'll see people who completely give up on their spirituality because something bad happens to them. Well, they didn't protect me, and I asked the gods for this. And, you know, I asked goddess to, you know, send me this, and I really needed that. And instead, I've come to the understanding or personal view and opinion that to have that kind of view, to me, seems almost selfish. Well, why did the gods do this to me? Well, they didn't do it to you. The world and existence in the universe is going to happen. I mean, if we don't have things that make us upset sometimes, we're not going to enjoy the good as much. I mean, it's like stagnant water. You know, it's going to grow stale. We need it to flow, and the change and erosion is going to happen, and we're going to be forged through our experiences. One of the greatest things about life is we can make choices. And, you know, if a car wreck happens or you lose your house, what do you do with it from that point? This is not something that was directly against you because the gods made you be punished for an action, in my opinion. This is just an opportunity for things to change. No matter how bad things get, you still have the opportunity to make different choices and different changes with anything that you have. And, you know, you have these people that are so upset, you know, that they lose a job. Well, where else can you work next? Where could you work that you would like better even? You know, it's change. And people always view this change as a bad thing or something done to them. And I've always felt like the gods and goddesses are here to teach us, that we learn lessons from them and we try to honor them like we honor our ancestors. But they don't spoon-feed us. By sitting here and praying for something and it doesn't happen, we sometimes have to ask ourselves, why didn't it happen, and what can I learn from this? Anytime I've ever asked or prayed to my gods or goddesses and I've specifically requested something, I always follow up every prayer myself with saying, you know, and if this doesn't happen, at least help me find the wisdom to see why it did not. And if it doesn't happen, I've never been mad or angry or frustrated at them. Well, how dare you not do this for me? I've always thanked them for taking the time to listen, and then I look for a new path or something that I can do with this new obstacle that might be in front of me. So that's what I mean as far as when I say that we need to start being self-responsible and self-reliant and, you know, holding responsibility for ourselves. Instead of looking at things are done to us, look at the fact that we have the ability to choose what we're going to do in this situation, how we're going to view it, how we're going to react to it, and what our next step is.
That's pretty beautiful. You're pretty, you walk softly on the astral.
I try.
I think that what you're describing is something that, you know, you are doing. You have embraced this and defined it for yourself. I think there's several folks. I think this is a phenomenon that's going on, but not enough people are talking wide enough about it yet. And it's sort of a theological Krakatoa. It's a sort of everything up at once right now, and people are being pushed in directions of looking, because this is one of the demographics of culture right now, is that people are searching for their authentic self, if you will. Can you resonate with that? Do you relate to what I'm saying with that authentic self and people, you run into people like this?
You mean someone that's basically looking how to define themselves?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Searching past what hasn't been working. The reason that your guidance has come to them is because you can point them in the direction of seeing that everything has value for them, and to take and self-define instead of let what they're finding define for them.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Yeah, absolutely. And that's been a big inspiration of why I started putting myself out there on the internet. I mean, I didn't, like I said, until recently, and still I started doing my Shaolin classes and started doing a distance study program with Druidry, I didn't have anything. I didn't have anyone to turn to. I felt lost. I felt alone. So I started posting videos to share my journey with others, and I started getting some decent feedback and responses and people thanking me, saying I changed their life. And I usually try to respond with, I didn't change your life. You were able to change it by, you know, having this little prompt that you saw in my video. And I always encourage them to continue their journey. You know, to continue to look, you know. Don't take anything at face value, even things that I say. I'm just some nut on the internet for all you know. You know, look and find your own truth.
That's wonderful. Yeah, as I said when we were beginning, this is an important thing right now, that folks break free of old molds and just reach for themselves, really. And we reach for ourselves through what fascinates us. And people who are spiritually awakening or awake. And I know folks who have practiced witchcraft or Strega for years and years and years, and now they feel like they need to expand themselves further. And so this is primarily with women, Blaze, that I, you know, communicate and counsel with and have known for years. It's not just one way. It's many of the different ways there are. And what's wonderful about it is that you end up becoming, you know, unique and creating your own to share with other people. And when you are confident, it's like what I saw in your video with you. When you have a self-confidence in that uniqueness and you know that there's value to the spiritual expression to share, then people are encouraged to do the same thing for themselves.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I think that's part of the whole community thing we're talking about earlier. You know, if we reach out to each other or we try to set the example for each other and we stop, you know, just hiding it off to the side and remaining solitary, then I think a movement can be happening, and I think it is happening. You know, I think, you know, even like with your show here, you know, you're reaching out to people and people are listening and they're hearing this and they're being sparked with new ideas and inspiration to become and not just have other people define who they are.
It's very Egyptian to become, yes. I wanted to ask you, especially since we're about 2.5 weeks away from our sun's alignment with the black hole center, the Milky Way, and on the winter solstice. Well, what are your ideas? What are your thoughts, experiences with what's going on right now? Because the universe, especially the solar planets, are wagging a lot right now. With solar flares are just pretty much lots of little barrages, nothing huge, but seems like a shake and bake to me. what's your opinion? What are you experiencing right now?
I haven't viewed or researched a lot about the planetary alignments or anything. I mean, of course, there's all this talk about the end of the world. And my personal views on that, at least, is just the simple fact that we just need to live now, take each day at one time. I mean, if you look at, you know, even stuff like the tarot deck, the death card is the change card. So I think that even though people are afraid the world's going to end, I think it could end in one sense and begin in a new. And if the planet does cease to exist and implode into the sun, into a black hole, whatever the case may be, thrown out of alignment, and we really do cease to exist on this planet, to me at least, I believe that the essence of who we are continues. I believe in reincarnation, so I think that existence will go on even if our physical realm gets completely altered. So, I mean, even in science, we see that nothing is created or destroyed with energy. It's just changes. So even if the physical existence right now changes, doesn't mean a new existence will come into being.
Agreed. Perhaps I didn't frame it from my own perspective well enough. I think like indigenous here in the Americas, I think we're leaving the fourth and going into the fifth world, but we're doing that on every level of the physical world anyways. Our world is changing second by second, most especially because of technology. And also, if you noticed, if you've been watching, I don't think the world's coming to an end. I do think we have some crisis to face as far as the health of the planet and the health of the people. But like you say, very correctly, from my point of view, too, this is part of our challenge to change, to learn and grow, and to adjust and evolve. And I think that's basically, you know, after 26,000 years through every house or constellation, we've come to the beginning again. That's what it's really about, a little precession of the equinoxes. And I think we're being challenged to grow up as human beings. And growing up, perhaps, I think the key to our growth is our spiritual awareness. That I really do think.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. I mean, we're beings that exist on multiple planes, and now, of course, in a lot of Western thought, it's mind, body, and soul. And, you know, in some of the Eastern thought, there's also, yeah, the seven spirits and the three souls and the self. So there's different ways of looking at it, but we're definitely beings that resonate on multiple levels, and I think that they influence each other. I mean, if you're physically feeling ill, it's going to affect your spirituality. And if your spirituality is not feeling well, it's going to manifest into physical illness. And that's just, you know, that's one course by some of my healing. I'm a healer that likes to do alternative, you know, therapies and things like that. And one of the things that we're taught is disease is not disease, but it's dis-ease. So it's a manifestation of something that's going on. So we feel like connecting with modern medicine, let them fix the body, but let's also fix the symptoms. Let's fix the things that are causing us to be ill. You know, that the positive thoughts and vibrations can really go a long way. You know, I mean, that's another key thing. Like we were talking earlier about, you know, some of my Shaolin practices. And, you know, in Shaolin, in order to do, one of the things that my master tells me is he says that as far as Tai Chi Chuan is concerned, we need to develop our Qi. You know, we need to do Qi cultivations and work with the three energies of the body, Qi, Jing, and Shen energies. And without this energy, there is no Tai Chi without Qi. And that's because with this practice, it has all sorts of realms. It is mind, body, and soul. It's all these different realms that we have to connect and pull together in order to reach our peak of healthiness. And I think that, you know, can apply to anyone in any part of their life, even if they don't practice martial arts. I mean, if you're not sound of mind, body, and soul, it's going to affect you.
I agree with you. With my own work, that's how I present. I come from the East with getting to know yourself through your chakra network and your bodies of consciousness and your meridians and chi flow through your nadi. All of this is very important. You know what it is? It's moving away from Newtonian physics and medicine to where we're treating symptoms all the time, and it's really horrendous right now, medicine. There's lots of good in it, yes, but allopathic healthcare is nothing compared to Einsteinian or energy medicine that is using a lot of Eastern method, a lot of Eastern practice, and from other cultures too, that align spirit, mind, and body in order to do a more complete healing. I think that the new, I don't know if you've heard of them, the new cancer centers that they have, they are trying to, and this is out of California, and there's some down here in Florida, I'm in the South, it's about putting together vibrational medicine, really. It's the combination of what's good in the allopathic health community or healthcare into what's also good with wellness and the spiritual influences, too.
I've not heard of them before, but I'm very happy to hear that a place like that exists.
We've been moving towards it. There was a really fabulous book that's been very helpful to me, and it's been revised a couple of times. It's called Vibrational Medicine by Dr. Richard Gerber, and he takes primarily Ayurvedic traditions, and he combines it with science, and also he's a allopathic medical doctor. And he uses it all, puts it together in this book. It's a book of healing and correspondences, and it's a wonderful, wonderful book. Have you ever heard of it?
I haven't. I would actually like to get the, if you can email me the title, I'd like to actually look into that.
It's been influential to me. Working with, I certainly will. Yes, I will. Working with many different levels, that's that. There's so many different techniques out there, and I think that the majority of them work. I don't think you can ever say that intention, focused energy, and will doesn't work. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely. But it's just, I think people are still going to want to fight it, of course, because if it's not as simple as a cut and snip that you can physically see, there's always going to be the counter argument. So even though you look and you see people that are laughing and happy alone, if you just look at that, the vibrations of laughter and happiness, that those patients recuperate quicker. I mean, there's something to be said for it.
Oh, yeah.
But there's always going to be those arguments.
I agree. My sister is an acupuncturist, and she uses the very, I would call it allopathic Chinese side of it, and she combines it with the Ayurvedic spiritual mind-body spirit. And she does very well at it. It's amazing what acupuncture can achieve. I know for myself, it's been amazing. And there are so many different techniques. And then on the other side, real quick here to interject it, is that we are learning things about, from now that we've learned about stem cells or we're able to work with them, we're learning some really wonderful things in science that are not about just treating symptoms for profiteering for medical companies or pharmaceutical companies. There are people out there that are using huge funds to explore what the science of our bodies is further, from DNA to stem cell. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've heard of some of that research, and I'm definitely pleased to hear that, because, like, as I was saying, as far as being a healer, one of the key things that I've always heard and I always repeat to other people that are interested is one of the biggest things for a healer is they must be willing to learn as much as they can in all fields to help someone completely heal. Because, I mean, that ultimately, at the end of the day, that's what we're doing as healers, is we're helping someone to heal. We're helping them through their natural process. And if we want to do that, we need to understand the body. We need to understand the symptoms. We need to understand the mind and the spirit. Because if we don't heal them on all three levels and help them to heal themselves, then it's not going to do any good. You know, when people come in for a quick fix, and I think that's why we see all of these different markets of making tons of money, is people want that quick fix. They want a drug, they want something
Agreed.
Cut out, and they want it done. So.
Agreed. Yeah. Here's the really wonderful thing that's happening right now that addresses that quick fix. It's like when my sister and I owned a shop years ago, people would come in and have readings done with different readers we had. And whenever anybody came in for a reading, it was usually about, you know, a quick fix of some kind, money or love. You might follow where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
It wasn't usually about where am I at with my spiritual journey. That was the odd person out, do you know? I think now that, and on the physical level with healing, people are beginning to understand that the quick fix is, if you listen to commercials, if you watch any television and you hear it the later at night it gets, the commercials are about pharmaceutical drugs that they want you to ask your doctor for, I guess. But the really wild thing about it is that, I get, you know, the law makes them reveal all of the side effects, and it just stuns me that in 2 out of 3, death can be one of the side effects. And I got to think to myself that this is opening people up subconsciously to ask them, you know, to gnaw at their consciousness, like, what are you doing? Why are you not looking for the real, you know, cause, effect, and healing of your malady? Makes sense to you?
Makes little to no sense, unfortunately. I don't know why people want to have that mentality. I think it has to do with the fear. If we start realizing that we're responsible for what happens in our life and to our body, that puts responsibility on our shoulder. And
yeah.
I think that's, you know, why some people, when, not saying it's bad to do it, but some people, you know, when they look at different monotheistic faiths, there's good and there's bad. So all responsibility is placed on one side, and you follow that, and you live up to that, and you're good. You have a guidebook and guidelines. There's not necessarily as much self-responsibility as some of the spiritual paths. And once you start taking responsibility, then that's something you do for life. You know, if not in all cases, but some individuals who are overweight because they choose to be. And yep. The reason I say that is I myself is a prime example. I do martial arts, and I love it. But if I would also not sit at a computer all day for my work or for recreation on video games, and if I would stop, you know, eating bad food and eat healthier and get normal exercise routine, I wouldn't be overweight. I'm overweight because it's easier. And I think that's the same thing with people that are facing a lot of these illnesses and stuff, and where they're looking for that quick fix is because in order to heal and to be whole and to be healthy, it is a lifestyle change. It's not just a quick over-the-night thing. So
I see it happen all around me, including myself. I can relate completely to what you said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just part of being human. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just one day we have to wake up and make the decision. And, I mean, once again, though, talking about some of, you know, the martial arts that I have mentioned, there are individuals online, like there's a guy and he's like 118 years old and he can still do martial arts like it's nothing. He's done it his entire life because he's done this slow progressive thing where he's worked on himself, mind, body, and soul. Even my instructor, I believe he's in his 50s, I don't know his exact age, but you would never know it by looking at him. He moves better than I do and I'm only 31. And I mean, he's just, every time he goes to his doctor says that his blood pressure and all of his readings and regulations are like a 20-year-old, and he has no idea how he does it, and it's because, you know, he's been doing martial arts for basically his entire life.
It's quite true. I myself have been minding myself towards, you know, you've got to get over to the Tai Chi sooner or later. They have the classes for free type of thing, and it's really something to do. I do see a lot of people, though, and always have, as a healer myself, who are in extraordinary health for whatever condition because of who they are and how they feel about life. It has a lot to do with being happy and being happy with yourself, you know?
I 100% agree with that.
It really is ground zero. Blaise, we're at the end of the show. I've got a few minutes, but I generally have to cap off about now. I would really love it if you could come back and speak with us again sometime in the future.
Sure. I mean, we'll have to see how it goes. Like I said, I usually have to leave a little bit early from class, so we'll see one of these days when that will be possible, and we'll definitely look into that. It was great being on the show. I really appreciate you having me.
Well, it's really been a pleasure, and we can always make some adjustments for bringing you on at like 10 or 15 after, whatever. It's been a great show. Love to have you again. I think you have some wonderful stuff to share.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. One more time. Let folks know where they can find your videos over on YouTube.
Yeah, just look for Blaisley Dragon. And actually, if you even Google Blaisley Dragon, you'll run into my Wix.com page where I've got my ancient arts podcasts and stuff, and you can see video links there as well. And pretty much by getting on there, if you put it as one word, BlazeLeeDragon, you'll find probably about 80 or 90 different videos about all sorts of stuff.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's great. Thank you so much for being with us, being the guest tonight. Being with me. I appreciate it a great deal, and I'm sure my guests are going to enjoy the show, or my listeners, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and so that's the show for December 6th. I thank everybody for listening in and people who are listening in archive. The show, The Consciousness Shift, is brought to you by or sponsored by the I Love Nicole Show, and you can find Nick's show, her television show, over on YouTube under I Love the I Love Nicole Show, and Daughters of Isis.com. Go on over and see us. We'll give you a great Christmas, Yule, or New Year's gift. to give this year. So that's the show this evening. Blaze, it's been a pleasure. Have a wonderful solstice. And that's it. Good night, everybody.